Today on Real Life Radio.
We live before the God of eternity. We will all stand before Him. And we're not going to be able to say, I just didn't feel like worshiping you most of my life. It won't work.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series in the book of Revelation with a message called The Hallelujah Chorus, Part 2. Here in chapter 19 of Revelation, the Great Tribulation period is now coming to a close. Mankind's last attempt to govern himself has completely failed, and the self-proclaimed global leader, the Antichrist, is near his end. You see, chapter 19 brings us to the moments leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The church that the Lord Jesus Christ began here on earth, that church that you and I are all a part of today, has been in heaven throughout the tribulation period, worshiping the Lord for His faithfulness, singing His praises and hallelujahs for all of time and eternity. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our view of Revelation 19 really should be from heaven's perspective. Then we can see how life here has a greater purpose. Our present situation on earth is under God's watchful eye. That's the truth, which means that we need to not only worship Him when we're in heaven, but right here, right now on this earth. Now in his message called The Hallelujah Chorus, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The law is mocked. It's made fun of. The constitution of a state is declared and people break it in an instant. And now we have governmental leaders breaking state constitutional laws. That is, listen, if you know history, forget history. I mean, don't forget it. You don't have to be a student of history. If you can read the dictionary, that is the precursor to anarchy. When you look at the law and every man then decides what to do is right in his own eyes. Anarchy. We live in a dangerous time. The Lord is coming back in the great second coming, and He's going to exercise truthful judgment and righteous judgment. And the Bible says no one will question God. No one's going to say, God, how could you? Are you having a bad day, Lord? He doesn't have a bad day. Without Christ, every man or woman has a bad day. You say, Pastor, you're offending me. No, listen. Who are you worshiping? Who gets your hallelujahs? Well, first of all, understand this, that it is the God of heaven and earth, and He's the righteous judge, and He is true. For true and righteous are His judgments. Why? Because, it says, He has judged the great harlot. You can circle that and mark this, Revelation 17. You can read all about her. Boy, she has great details. The great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication and has avenged on her the blood of a servant shed by her. Look at verse 3. Again they said, Alleluia, for her smoke rises up forever and ever. Church, before we leave verse 3 and this second Alleluia, you ought to mark this because you have struggled with the question that verse 3 generates, if you realize it or not. How can a God of love cause judgment to last forever? Notice what it says here. It says, praise the Lord. Why? Her smoke rises up forever and ever. Church, I don't understand that. Neither do you. Does it seem unfair? Yes, I must admit, on this side. Does it seem like there should be an end to the suffering of hell? Yes, I, on this side, say yes. There seems like there should be. But there's not. The Bible never speaks out of hell as being a metaphor. Jesus never said, you know, hell, I'm going to talk about it more than any other biblical character, but it really doesn't exist. Did you know that? Jesus talked about it more than anybody. Why? Because He died so people wouldn't go there. Do you understand that? When somebody says, you Christians worship a God of love, yeah, right, then how does a God of love send people to hell? Answer, He doesn't. There are people who are bent on hell. They don't want anything to do with God. And get a load of this. Study verse 3. What is implied in the Greek? listen, this is a mind blower to me. I must tell you, I was shocked to find this out. Verse 3 in the Greek, this is what's implied, that those who are in torment forever and ever, that if they had a chance to not go, they would not have accepted it. How can that be? How can someone be that blinded? And all of a sudden, my soul is gripped with wanting to know every one of you personally. Look, I know that we cannot all go out to dinner together. If we did, I'd weigh 9,000 pounds as it is. But do you know what I want to do? I want to grab you by the face with all love and say, do you know Jesus personally? Is he your hallelujah chorus? Are you singing praises to him? Tell me, my friend, how are you going to get into heaven? If you say, because, listen, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, I have no hope without Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me, and I've given my heart to him. Then I'm going to give you a kiss and a hug. But listen, if I were to grab you and say, my friend, how are you going to go to heaven? Well, I've been tithing, I've been witnessing, I've been praying, and I think in the end, God's going to, you know what? I'm going to want to grab you and pin you to the ground and not let you go until you say, Jesus is my Lord. Because why would we care for your soul? Why would Jesus die on the cross if hell wasn't real? And sin is not possible. It is possible. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know that. That's why I want to throw my arms up when Shaka leads us in worship and say, God of wonders beyond the galaxy. Why is that important? Because that's where I'm going. That's where I'm living. Look, right here, right now, I understand that. We got to go through this stuff. And you know what? If I choke today, or if the Lord comes back today with the rapture, can you imagine the trumpet and away we go? Or I don't know what it is. You forget to put your seatbelt on and you go through the window. You know what? Just go through the window. Hallelujah. I don't mean that literally, but if you're a Christian, you know. If you're a Christian, you know where you're going. The world, they don't know. They have no concept of, listen, they have no desire to worship. They have no passion to praise. It's not in their stomach. You know what, you guys? The world plays some good music. They can really write some good tunes. Musically, you know, tunes. I don't know anything about music, except I like what I like and I don't like what I don't like. But you know the musical part? They can really play some good musical stuff. But you know what? At best, they got nothing to sing about. My dog bit me and my wife done left me. What is that? Man, the Christians got something to write about. The Christians got something to write down. The Bible says the Lord gives us new songs. Why? We've got something to write about. Again, Phil Wickham this week in Israel picked up his guitar, started playing, and those pilots started listening. Why? Something was being said in the song. Of all people, we've got something to say with our music. In my opinion, Christian music should rock the world. In my opinion, Christian music should set the standard, and the world should say, man, we need to be like those people. Amen. Instead of the Christian community saying, boy, we got to be like, oh, I don't know who. The Bible says that forever. And look, heaven says, praise the Lord, the torment is forever. This tells me I don't understand the cost of the cross. That's what it tells me. Church, did you hear me? It tells me that Jack, and maybe you too, if suffering is forever, then that must indicate that whatever was rejected was so precious and so priceless that it warrants an eternal punishment. Did you hear me? And I don't understand that. I just know that God is righteous and true. And in the end, we will agree with Abraham, who said, the Lord of all the earth has done right. It's not a popular thing, but to turn your back on it is a dangerous thing. Verse 4, and the 24 elders, I love these guys, and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne. And look what they said. Amen. It's true. Look, the 24 elders, you've got a host in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Watch, everyone. Hallelujah. Her smoke rises forever. In other words, we agree. Your judgment upon her was just and true, which is why many scholars believe that this is the word of the tribulation saints. She destroyed us by her paganism and by her deception and by her sword. Thank you, God, true and righteous judge. Are you with me, everybody? It's so true and righteous that the host of heaven, you guys, we haven't heard from the 24 elders in a long time. They represent the church and the age of believers. They pipe up. Wow. Amen. Notice the order. Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, that's true, what we just read there, what we just heard, that's true. And praise the Lord. They agree. Who agrees? See, if you don't like this message, you're just going, I don't agree with you, Pastor. Why don't you get out of here? Well, wait a minute. What we're reading about here, those who were martyred during the tribulation period that's still yet to come, they agree with God's judgment. Number two, the church chimes in. Oh, wait, where's the church? Oh, they're in heaven. How'd they get there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. That's how they got there. John 14, 1, 2, and 3. That's how they got there. It's called the rapture, the harpazo, the catching away of the church. The church is in heaven. We haven't seen the church since back in Revelation chapter 4, chapters 2 and 3, technically. All of a sudden, the 24 elders, you say, but Pastor, wait a minute. The footnotes in my Bible say that the 24 elders represent the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. You know what? That's one of the explanations of the 24 elders. Okay, another one is that God declared in the Old Testament that there'll be 24 orders of priests continually serving before the Lord. That's true too. So which one is it? I don't know. Nobody knows. I've got 26 commentaries and I think 32 opinions on what it means. The cool thing is the 24 elders undeniably is associated with the church. Now, all of a sudden, after all this mayhem we've been studying for months, now all of a sudden they're seen in heaven. Question, how'd they get there? And what are they saying? They are agreeing with God's judgments upon the earth as he concludes the tribulation period. And those four living creatures, oh, those guys are wild, those holy angels. They represent the angelic hosts. They're amazing. The four living creatures, it's the 24 elders and the four living creatures that since Revelation chapters 2, 3, and 4 are before the throne of God, looking down from above. Look with me in verse 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. The word is reverence or be in awe of. Don't, look, please don't mean or think that the word means fear God like this. That's not what the word means. It means to be in awe of him. It's sad in our age, in the time in which you and I live in, we're not really in awe of much anymore, are we? We're really not. We have so much external stimulation. You know, we can do this and do that. We can hear this or hear that. You know, I got some new ear headphones, but they go inside your ear, you know, and there's sound noise-canceling headphones for my Mac, and I put it in my computer, and I click on Bach or Mozart, and I'm telling you, I can't hear anything. And it probably sounds better than what it did when Mozart played it. It's just amazing. I feel like I'm dipped in sound. Well, you can now, you know, get in simulators and fly spaceships, and you can do all kinds of things that stimulate our senses to the point where, is that it? Is that all? I mean, let's be honest. The last time you went to Disneyland and saw the fireworks, when it was all over, now, those who have not been, or maybe they're out of the country, they come and we take them there, and, oh, look, okay, here they go. You guys, do we not now almost yawn and fall asleep during the fireworks at Disneyland? It's like, you know, I'm sorry. The grand finale is just about ready to come up. And they're like, ooh, ah, right? What does that to us these days? Anything? I don't know. But we've lost that wonder. And yet when the Lord comes back, he's going to get their attention. And no one's going to say, you know, oh, I'm sorry. I think that's the Lord coming back. The Bible says that the voice came from the throne. And again, we do not know who's speaking. Scholars speculate. Some say it's the voice of Jesus. Can't prove it. Some say it's the voice of God collectively. Can't prove that. Some say it's the voice of an angel. We don't know. Can't say for sure. What's interesting is what is said. Praise, look, praise our God, all you his servants, and those who revere are in awe of him, both small and great. Could it be the voice of those who have gone on before us? My friend, do you have anybody who's gone into heaven? Anybody that's died trusting Jesus? Where are they in heaven? What do they know? God. The Bible tells us, as I've shared recently in Isaiah 57:1, that the righteous perish from the earth and no man takes it to heart, that the innocent are removed from this planet and no man understands that it's the Lord who has removed them from evil. Isn't that a great promise? Do you have a loved one there? Do you think they're pacing back and forth? Oh, I don't think my mom's in heaven going, oh, I hope Jack, you know, oh. Or your grandpa's, oh, I hope he learns how to do this. Or you think somebody's wringing their hands there? No, not at all. All we know is that there's an announcement. And the announcement, listen, church, we're almost done. The announcement is, praise him. And I don't know how this message this morning is going to be received. You know what? You're going to sit here like this anyway. And maybe you're visiting and you're thinking thoughts like, well, let's see how he does today. Or I'll check out the place. Kind of feel it out. God's checking you out. Maybe you're sitting here, I've been coming here all my life. That doesn't apply to me. God's checking you out. I'm standing here right now. God's checking me out. What's my motive? What's my thought? Am I a worshiper? Wow, all of a sudden, wait a minute. Look, I'm not making this up. I didn't write this book. He says, praise our God, all you his servants. Do not raise your hand, but are you a servant of his? Well, there's only one way to tell. You're a worshiper of God. Are you in awe of him? God knows in an instant if you're in awe of him. Why? You're a worshiper of him. You're not pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. I'm not faking you out. God knows who I am in secret, both small and great, just in case anybody escapes. Well, you know, small and great. The word means those with influence and those with none. What's the command, church? What's the command? Praise him. Well, I don't know. The air conditioner's hitting me right about here. And I can't hear much on this side, and he's too loud on this side. And you guys, it's as though that we live before the God of eternity. We live and breathe, and it's in him that we have our being. We will all stand before him, and we're not going to be able to say, I just didn't feel like worshiping you most of my life. It won't work. People will always ask, Pastor, I'm afraid. I want to be one of God's sheep, you know, when he separates the sheep and the goats. But am I a goat? Could I become a goat in the end, a non-believer in the end? I want to be close to Jesus. If that's your concern, you're not a goat. By the way, have you seen sheep? Real sheep. Sheep eat sheep stuff. Sheep food. Have you seen a goat? Those nuts will eat. They'll eat your purse. Go to the zoo. I remember one year, years ago, our kids were little. We're at the San Diego Zoo, and this rotten goat has got his face in Lisa's purse. And he's eating whatever he can get his face on. You ever seen a goat? They eat garbage, trash. They're like a land shark. They'll eat anything. A sheep, all picky. And a goat, they're kind of resourceful. A sheep, a lamb, they'd die without human care. Another thing about goats and sheep, goats don't worship. Not really. They might worship in the crowd. But when it's secret, when it's dark, when it's alone, God knows. So church, listen. This is real, what we're talking about. We're standing here. It's real right now. This is not a show. This is not just racking up some more Christian time. You guys, we're going to heaven. And if you're a Christian, you're going to worship there. And you say, yep, well, when I get there, I'll start worshiping. Oh, no, no. A real Christian has to worship now. We have to worship now. It's in our blood now. And I wonder, how many of you, should the Lord come today, how many of you will be back here next Sunday and the church is gone and you're wondering, well, what's happening? This place could be packed next week if the rapture happened today. Do you realize that? You mean everybody at Calvary is not going to heaven? Oh, yeah, sure. Just because you go to Calvary Chapel, you go to heaven. Right. Are you born again? There's one way to tell. Ask yourself. I'm not going to ask you. I can't. It doesn't matter. Ask yourself, am I a worshiper? Do I say, hallelujah, Lord? Yes. Are you a worshiper? John says in verse 6, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. Don't you want to be there? Do you want to be there? As the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, here's the final one. Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. You know what the word here in the Greek is? Quite amazing. Hallelujah, for the Lord God has begun his reign. You say, wait a minute, I thought God was reigning already. He is reigning. But this declaration, church, listen, we'll be all done. Those of you who have been with us from the beginning, remember when Jesus stood up in the book of Revelation and approached the throne of his Father and took from the hand of the Father, what was it? A scroll written on the inside and on the outside, sealed with how many seals? Seven. And the Lamb began to open the seals. Remember? It's the title deed to the earth. Now time has come. The 7 years has expired. And now it's time for God to return in the second coming to establish his kingdom on earth. And Jesus Christ must and will rule from the throne of David in Jerusalem. It must be, or Jesus that we know of is the wrong one. Jesus Christ must sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem, or he is not Jesus. Did you hear that? Right now, he's seated upon his Father's throne. He must return in what is called the millennium and sit upon the throne, which he has never yet sat upon, the throne of his earthly father in lineage, his father David's throne. He must sit upon the throne of David from Jerusalem, says the Bible. For how long? 1,000 years. It's called the millennium. When Christ returns. How does Christ return? In the second coming. Where's that? Revelation 19. Where? How do we know more about it? Come back next week. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. The joy and the excitement of it. Lord, it's amazing. And I pray this morning that, Lord, every mind and every ear right now would not confuse the messenger with the message. The message is, are you a worshiper?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Hallelujah Chorus Part 2. Thanks for spending some time with us today. The Hallelujah Chorus Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world, and we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as we study the book of Revelation, we see more and more of how God's love is securing our future. Bible prophecy is the only true way to know what lies ahead of us. And to learn how prophecy relates to the present, we've got a great resource for you. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab that's labeled Happening Now. These are Facebook Live events that are also available for you to watch anytime, anywhere, and you'll love the format. Pastor Jack often has a special guest who gives extra insight to Bible prophecy and how it relates to current events. So join in the conversation with Happening Now at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.